Let's take our Bible tonight and go in the book of 1 Peter. I want to go to the first epistle of Peter. Amen. We'll look at this tonight, first one. And Peter wrote two epistles. Can you tell me what they are? Amen. All right. So he done learned something tonight. He's already know that. Well, good. I reminded you. Peter's got two books given to him. And he's the writer, not the author. God gave him these words, and I appreciate the Word of God tonight. We'll look at these things in the book of 1 Peter. Let's stand. Let's read a little bit of this tonight, and thank you for being here. I appreciate everyone that's here. And see if we can pick out some of these scriptures that we need. The Bible said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in the heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, ye yet believe him, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You can be seated. And let's pray tonight together. Father, I pray that you give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, as we open the Word of God, I pray it might challenge hearts and strengthen souls. Lord, you give us what we stand in need of tonight. You know what we're going to face in the days ahead in this brand new year. Lord, you know what we're going to face tomorrow and even before tomorrow. And I pray your precious presence might be with us tonight. Lord, may we get something from the Word of God that be everlasting and steadfast in our mind and wouldn't pass away. But God, you said your Word wouldn't. And so I pray tonight, Lord, we'd hide it in our heart that we'd not sin against you. And that we'd stand true and straight and, Lord, steadfast in a trying hour. And we'll give you the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to look at this tonight and break down some of these verses and look at them together, and may God bless by doing so. Paul, or Peter, and I preach so much on Paul, I have a hard time trying to differentiate the two. But when I'm talking about Peter here tonight, he's given us this book for a purpose, and that is for encouragement to the saints of God. Now, if there's ever a time, we need encouragement ourselves. Amen. Now, he's trying to encourage the suffering believers. There were some suffering. And you'll get by the context of what we've read, if you'll just go back and think about some of the verses we just read a minute ago. Peter is trying to challenge and strengthen the hearts and the minds of the believers. And the reason he's trying to give an encouraging word is, number one, that they might stand steadfast. That they would remain in the faith and not waver. Now, you'll find that in the context you're looking at it tonight. He wants them to be strong. I challenge you tonight. We're going to face things this year that we've never faced before. Amen. You said, what? I don't know. But I faced things last year that I didn't know we'd ever think and didn't face, and I didn't think we'd ever face. And in the last few years, and we're going to face more of it, and we're going to have the touch of God on our life to get us to the place that we can stand steadfast. Most of the saints of God, and I've seen it down through the years, and God help us tonight, and I've done my part of it, that when troubles come and trials come, we begin to waver a little. We begin to falter. We begin to grow weak. But if there's any time we need to be, it's right now that we stay strong in the power of His might. Amen. I believe that now. Now look, He's not only given the book to this Scripture to give us a warning to stand steadfast, but He wants us also to demonstrate the grace of God in our life. We're going to look at that in a minute. And we'll see it down through here. And we'll find this chapter 1. Let's give you a little outline. Jot these little things down out of chapter 1. We're not going to cover all of chapter 1 tonight. We won't have time. But I want to give you a little bit about it tonight. Chapter 1, you can take it and go home. And I like to outline a book. Now, you could outline it and get something different tonight, and it won't change the meaning at all. Because you can outline but I just want to give you this little outline that I got today from the Lord, and He gave us a little something here. We'll break it down in these verses. Verse number 1 and verse number 2. Now, there's more to it than these two verses, but we'll call that the salutation. He's given His introduction. He's given the salutation in verse number 1 and verse number 2. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then when you get to verse number 3, we'll just say that's the salutation of Peter. Verses 1 and 2 is the salutation of Peter. Verses 3 through 12, jot this down, will be the salvation of God. You're going to see it described in verses number 3 down through verse number 12. The salvation of God. When you get down to verse 13 through verse number 17, you're going to find the sanctification of the Christians. Amen. The sanctification of the saints of God. Their sanctification where God sets them apart. We are set apart tonight. That's what sanctification is. When you get down to verses 18 down through 22, you're going to find the Savior of sinners. And brother, you'll see that if we'll look at it together, we'll not get there tonight, but you look at this reason I'm giving it to you, so when you go home, I want you to pick these out as your homework out of the Scriptures, give you a little time to sit down and look at it. These verses, you'll find verses 18 through 22, you'll find the Savior of sinners. Look for that when you're looking for it. And then when you get to verse number 23, through the remainder of the chapter, verse 25, you'll see, and I've got it outlined, is the Scriptures of salvation. You'll find the Scriptures. And they'll be dealing with the salvation of God. Now, verses 1 and 2, the salutation of Peter. Verses 3 through 12, the salvation of God. Verses 13 through 17, the sanctification of the saints or the Christians. And verse 18 through 22 is the Savior of sinners. And verse 23 through 25 is the Scripture of salvation. Now, I want you to look at those when you get home. Look at that and try to pick that out. It'll help you. I'll just give you an outline. I could go back and outline it different, but I may do it sometime to just give you something to study on. There's so much in the Word of God, you can't cover it all. Now, I want to go back and look at the salutation of Peter for a minute. Verses 1 and 2. First of all, there's three things that makes a good salutation, and Peter's give them all three. Number one, there must be a greeter. Amen. I'm not talking about Walmart now. There must be a greeter. Number two, there must be a group that this Scripture's written to. And number three, there must be a greeting to make a good salutation. Now let's kind of break that down. Who's the greeter? Somebody tell me right quick. Peter, he's the greeter. Now the Holy Spirit's given him the opportunity to do so. Because it starts off, Peter, you don't have to ask and find out who it is that wrote this book. And so we find the greeter tonight is Peter, an apostle of who? Jesus Christ. So we find out he's an apostle. And we look at that tonight. He's the greeter. Now his name, Peter, comes from the word Petros, which means a stone. And you find that with the word Cephas in chapter 1, of the book of John, verse number 42. Thou art Cephas, he called him a stone. So we'll find that. He's also called Simon, or Simon Peter. This is the writer. Matter of fact, not many times is Simon mentioned after the day of Pentecost. When you get in the New Testament, after the the resurrection of Jesus Christ and after the work's been done and doing in the book of Acts, I believe it's three times that Simon Peter, or the Peter is referred to as Simon. So that Simon is the name that God gave him. He had her before he got that, when he got to doing the work of God, Simon kind of passed off the scene. And so we look at that. So we look at this tonight. He was Simon and he was Peter. And he got less and less on the name Simon the farther he went along. Now, there's another thing about it. It said Peter, an apostle. Now, you know what an apostle is. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on apostles. Disciples are what? Taught ones. They're the ones that followed after Christ. They did the work. They were taught ones. Now, the apostles were the same ones who were the disciples, but they now are sent ones. And that's what an apostle is. He's one that's sent. Now, there's two kinds of apostles in the Bible. Two kinds of apostles. And if you want that in your mind and be thinking about it, apostles, when you think about the two kinds, number one is the 12 original apostles. There's 12 of them. Now, one of them was Judas Iscariot. We know what happened to him. He went out and hanged himself. And the Bible said he was a devil from the beginning. He didn't lose his salvation. He was not saved to start with. But he was the original 12. Now, we believe that Paul came along and replaced Judas, because he hanged himself. And we label them as the 12 apostles. Amen. And I believe Paul is one of the 12, if you look at that in a sense. And then we find that Matthias was picked out. And there are some others that they called apostles in the Scriptures. But we'll look at that, and they were just in a term, apostles. And they were more or less those who were sent forth. And I call them generics. Amen. But the original were the 12 apostles who later Paul took the place of, and anything else were generics. Now, they weren't the original 12 apostles. There is some other apostles in the Scriptures, but they are going out to do the work of God, but they're not the ones. They were sent by somebody and by the Lord, of course, but not in the originality as the 12. So you've got to keep that in mind. Now, if you'll remember in the Scriptures that Paul came forth and he became the apostle of who? Who? Who was he an apostle over? Amen. What group? Gentiles. Amen. He was a Gentile. God chose Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, if you'll look in like manner, who was Peter an apostle to? Amen. Since that's easy to get, since the Jews and Gentiles. So Peter is the apostle to the Jews. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. You've got to keep that in your mind. Now, that don't mean that Peter didn't preach to Gentiles. That does not mean that Paul didn't preach to the Jew. That don't mean that neither one of them was ignoring each other. But God gave the messages to Paul, basically, particularly, to go preach to the Gentiles. That's how we got it. Amen. Ain't you glad? Because we got grafted in. And we'll understand that as you begin to study the Word of God. Because the Jews are put on the sideline. But you see, Jews were preached to and were the apostles, of course, came through. Peter began to preach to them. So we find, first of all, the greeter. Second, we find the group. Who's he preaching to? Who's this book to? Every one of the books in the Bible, you need to see who they're to. You said they're to everybody. That's right. But if you want to kind of keep it in context and not take it out of order, find out who they're speaking to. In this particular place in 1 Peter, he's telling us who he's speaking to. You're going to find the group of believers that he's talking to, and you're going to find out there's something about them. Amen. They were believers in various places, number one. If you look at it, they were where? In Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And they were there. Why were they there? Because they were scattered. Now, why were they scattered? Have you ever stopped to think about it? They were scattered because of persecution. In the days this book was written, persecution was going rampant upon the earth. They're not in Jerusalem. They're scattered. Why are they scattered? Too much opposition against what they're standing for. Amen. Opposition scatters you. That's what happened to the Jews. That's why they got scattered across the terrain in the world. It's simply because persecution come to them. That's why they're coming back into Jerusalem now. being drawn out of every nation. Why then every nation? Because persecution drove them into it years ago. And then they raised their children there. So we'll find now that these people, the Bible called them what? What is this group? They're strangers. You see that? What's a stranger? He's somebody that's in a strange land, or he's strange to people. Did you know a child of God in this United States of America virus today is a stranger? Amen. Foreigners used to be strangers in America, but they're not no longer strangers. We have become the stranger. Are you with me? We're telling the truth, aren't we? Now, we don't see too much around where we are particularly, but you go out from here, you'll find it. And if we're looking at this thing, he's saying they're strangers. That means they're not in their native country. They're not in their native land. Now, this land, Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, have you ever looked that up on the map to find out where these places are? If you look at it, you'll find this is modern Turkey. Amen. What about that? Who would ever believe that the gospel come out of modern Turkey? Or out of Turkey. It wasn't modern then. Amen. And now it's covered by Muslims and Mohammedism. And now we're in a time, brother, it's the reverse order of what it was then. But now we find that they were in persecution. They were there in Turkey simply because of the persecution that was put to them. And so we see that they're strangers and they're scattered. And the Bible calls us what? Strangers and foreigners. Amen. And that's what we are to this world tonight. So as you're looking at this, you can get it in your mind. Verse number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's just heard to getting through it, to know enough about it. To the strangers. To the strangers what? Scattered. Why are they scattered? Persecution. Where are they scattered to? Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So we'll find that this group are people who are from various places, or are living in various places, who are strangers under persecution. But verse number two says they're saved. Amen. It's wrote to the saved. Because it said in verse number 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now this goes back to a lot of what we was talking about Sunday on the sovereignty of God. Remember that? Now, elect. Now, I'm tell you this again, and I'll repeat again tonight what I've said before, that there's some folks believe that Jesus Christ died for the elect only, or those who would choose Christ. But this preacher preaches the Bible enough to believe tonight that Christ died for all. And I've preached that for ages, and I'm going to continue to preach it tonight. And we'll look at it, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, it did not say saved according to the foreknowledge of God, did it? It said elect. Who are the elect? Those who have chosen Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord are classified as the elect. And sure, God knew that the elect would receive Him. Amen. Or they would be the saved, would receive Him. And therefore, He called them the elect. But that did not in no means mean that God put one group over here and said, they can't get saved, and this crowd over here has to be saved. No, sir. It's a whosoever will gospel, and I'll preach that till my toes turn up. Amen. Or I leave out of this world. All right? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. So now we see this. And by the way, they were saved by the Trinity. In verse number 2, you'll find tonight the Trinity. Now, you remember I mentioned Sunday night that the word Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible? Remember that? The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But I still believe in the Trinity. I believe in the triune Godhead. I believe that there's one God, amen, manifest in three persons. Yes, sir, I believe that tonight. One God, three persons make up that God and the Trinity. You said, where do you get that? Elect according to the foreknowledge of who? God the Father. Amen. There's one of them. Through the sanctification of the Spirit. Amen. Number 2. Under the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of who? Jesus Christ. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Right there. You'll find the Trinity. And these people were saved. They were scattered. They were strangers. They were under persecution. But they were saved people. And listen, just because you're saved don't mean tonight that you're not going to suffer persecution. Matter of fact, God said in His Word in the book of Timothy, yea, and all that live godly shall, didn't say might, didn't say possibly, said shall suffer persecution. They'll talk about you. They'll hate you. They'll despise you. Matter of fact, if they're thinking a whole lot of you, brother, you done joined in with the wrong crowd. I'm talking about the world. If the world loves you and the devil's crowd loves you, and that crowd that don't know God loves you, and they're friends to you, and brother, they treasure you. Hey, you're no good for God. Amen. You're useless. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be at all. I'm just saying tonight, you won't have to worry about the world. Somebody said, preacher, I'll tell you what, I want everybody to like me. I want the Lord to like me. And I want to follow Him, and it don't make no difference. But if you just fall in love with Jesus, brother, He'll pick your friends for you. Matter of fact, you won't have to worry about picking them or getting rid of them. Amen. There'll be some won't fool with you, and there'll be some you'll get that you didn't know you'd ever had. Amen. So He said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Through what? The sanctification of the Spirit. So you're fine tonight. We're finding what? We're finding the greeter. We're finding tonight the group. And then the third thing is we got to find the greeting. We're going to find that in verse number 2. What is the greeting that Peter's giving? He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now here is the greeting. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And if you'll look at that, Peter and Paul both alike deal with grace and peace. Amen. Now, if you'll notice in all their epistles, they give it always grace and then peace. I've mentioned this before. Why? Brother, there's no peace outside grace. Grace has got to come first before there can be peace. Amen. And we look at this tonight, and we'll see in it. He's talking about grace unto you, and peace be what? Multiplied, made strong. Now, there's two words. That word grace is the Greek word. They're using it, and it's the customary greeting for the Greeks to say grace. They greet you with grace. And the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. If you've ever been to the Holy Land, and I have, I'm going over there, and I'd meet those Jews and them little rabbis that come up, and they'll say, shalom, shalom. Now, that word shalom means peace. They greet you with peace. The Hebrew greets with peace. The Greek greets with grace. Brother, he's got both worlds. Amen. Peter's saying, grace and peace be unto you. Amen. Be multiplied. So we find that. Now, we want to look at something else. We find this grace has come. Going to verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the greeter. Now let's talk about the salvation of God. We're going to look at His salvation. We get to verse number 3. What's the first thing we do? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to get to shouting and rejoicing because we've got something. How can you bless God? Give God glory and honor and you're blessing Him. Amen. How another way can you bless God? Live a holy, dedicated, consecrated life before Him. Exalt the blood of Christ. Exalt the blood-stained banner. Wave it high tonight and let the world know what side you're on. That's how you bless God. Amen. You can't tap God on the back and say, now you're a lovely, wonderful God. Why, you ain't got enough power, strength, and you don't have any way of doing that. Amen. You can't make God any greater by doing any of those things. But you do please God. And brother, when you please God, you bless God by living right, living clean, and dedicated, and consecrated, and exalting His name, and waving up the blood-stained banner, and waving it high, and lifting up holy hands to Him. That blesses God. Amen. Now, you know what I'm talking about when you think about your children. Which one had you read your children do? Be a curse to you or a blessing to you? Amen. You ever seen children try to bless their parents? How can children bless their parents? Amen. They don't have no job, can't buy them no food, can't put no clothes on their back, can't put a roof over their head, can't drive up and down. They can't do. Kids can't do that. But you know how children can bless their parents? By obeying them and being obedient to them. Amen. Listen to me, kids. Amen. I have to preach. You know, a preacher has to preach the young and the old. Amen. The healthy and the decrepit and everything else. Amen. To the smart and not smart. Amen. The high IQs and the low IQs. Now you put yourself in the category you want to, but the preacher has to preach to them all. So I'm saying to you kids tonight, listen, you can't bless your parents by finances. You can't bless your parents by giving them things. But you can bless your parents tonight by obeying and living a life that's pleasing in their sight. Amen. Mama likes it when kids pick up their clothes, put them in the dirty clothes hamper. Even wives like that when husbands do it. Amen. I'm telling you. And we are saying tonight, as we look at it, how can we bless one another by doing what's right? Now, how can we bless God? I can't make God any greater. I can't make Him any richer. I can't make Him any wiser. Amen. I can't make Him any better. Amen. At all. But I can make an example in my life of Christ and show people what He's done for me and live according to the words of God in obedience to Him. And that blesses Him. Is that right? Amen. That ought to help us a little. You said, preacher, I didn't know I could bless God. Amen. Maybe you ought to try it. It might help. You know what happens when children bless their parents by doing right? They reward them and they always seem like better to them. Amen. You want to favor your parents? Amen. Just honor them. Matter of fact, it tells you to anyhow. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother. We preached on that a lot. And I got to remind you, I know you forget it every once in a while. But listen, how do we do the same thing with God? We honor Him. We honor the Lord in all our substance. We honor Him in our praise. We honor Him in our lips. We honor Him in our walk. We honor Him in our talk. We honor Him in our lifestyle. And that's how we bless God. Now He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we got this grace come to us. Now we're talking about the salvation of God. Now we'll find, and here's your little outline for that part. Let's outline that little statement. The salvation of God. Number one, in verse number 3, you'll find the praise for the salvation. The praise of our salvation. There it is. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we come down a little bit and we find the properties of that salvation. What are the properties of that salvation? What does it contain? What does it look into? It's got it right here. Which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Brother, we are talking about the properties of the salvation of God is His. What kind of mercy is it? Abundant mercy. What's abundant mean? Over, surpassing what's normal. Abundant means exceeding. Abundant. What kind of mercy does God issue? Abundant mercy. Amen. Thank God for the abundant mercy. There's enough mercy tonight to go around for everybody. Amen. I'm glad tonight God has had mercy on me. Somebody said, I wish God would take justice out on some folks. Amen. I'm glad God takes justice out on nobody. I'm glad He gives mercy. Everybody on the face of the earth has experienced the mercy of God. You said, what about the lost? They've got mercy breathing God's air, eating God's food, and wearing God's clothes, and living, amen, and having another opportunity and a chance to be saved. That's the mercy of God that keeps every unbeliever alive tonight. And keeps them out of hell. But one of these days, God's mercy will slacken. One day, God's mercy will slide to the side. One day, God said, that's enough. That's all. I can't take no more. And the mercy of God will step to the side. And God, brother, will bring justice in. Amen. And mercy is done. Listen, when I got saved, what was it? The mercy of God. He saved me by His mercy. What did I do? I sinned against God. What did I deserve? I deserved to go to hell. Was there any good in me? No, sir. Is there any good in you? No, sir. Amen. Did you deserve and do you deserve tonight to be lost and on your way to hell? Yes. But what did God do? He gave you mercy. Thank God that's abundant mercy. So that's the properties of His salvation. Number 3. Also notice in this verse number 3, we'll find the power of His salvation. Because He said, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Amen. Look at that. A lively hope. What kind of hope? Lively. That means it's alive. That means it's not dead. A lively hope. God give us what kind of hope? Lively hope. Now, He gave us hope. If we had hope in this world, only we'd be what? Most men miserable. But thank God He's given us hope. I got hope beyond the grave. I got hope beyond this life. I got hope beyond this veil of tears. I got hope beyond this sorrow that we go through. Thank God there's hope. There's hope for the child of God. Well, what kind of hope is it? A lively hope. It's not a dead hope. Amen. That I keep putting no trust in. I got the Word of God that gives me something. Thank God it's a lively hope. Go on. He said here, by the resurrection. How do we get that? A lively hope. We get it through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Had He not rose from the dead, we'll still be in our sin. 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible said if we, if a resurrection hadn't happened, brother, our loved ones just died and gone on before us. They died in vain. But thank God they didn't die in vain. I'm glad tonight that because of the resurrection, we have a lively hope tonight. Praise God. Then He says, I can just look at it. When I look at that lively hope, I also want to put on there that is right now present. What did He say? To His abundant mercy hath He begotten us again unto a lively hope. We have a lively hope tonight. We had a lively hope yesterday, and we'll have a lively hope again tomorrow. It's present. Amen. Now, He said, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, look at this. We'll find the prospect of this salvation. What is it? We're talking about the salvation of God in these verses. What's the prospect of this salvation? Amen. What is it? To an inheritance. Hey! Everybody likes an inheritance, don't they? Amen. My daddy left me an inheritance. Praise God. He gave me a sweater he wore and a Bible he taught out of. That was my inheritance. Amen. You said all you got, all I needed. Didn't deserve that much. But I'll tell you tonight, He left me a good name. He sure did. I don't have to walk through town nowhere in all my years. I've never had to walk through town and go on the other side and when they look at me and said, are you Louis Dills' boy? I didn't have to hold my head down and regret that they even knew my dad's name. I could stick my head up and said, yes, sir. Amen. A lot of kids couldn't do that tonight. A lot of people couldn't do that. But I'm glad, thank God, my daddy left me a good name. I'd rather leave my children a good name than leave anything in this world to them. Amen. That's important. Saints of God, you ought to live a life, but when you leave this world, your posterity can look and say, I'm proud of Him walking through this world, and you don't have to hold your head down, amen, duck and pucker when somebody says something about them, amen, you know that they lift your good name. All right. So He said here, to an inheritance. That is the prospects of the salvation. What is it? What kind of inheritance are we going to have? He said to an inheritance. What kind of inheritance? Incorruptible. Praise God. And undefiled. And one that fadeth not away. And number four, one that's reserved. Ain't you glad you got an inheritance already reserved? Somebody said, what about making out a will? He's done it. Amen. Got one on the other side. Brother, one of these days we're going to be there. He said it's incorruptible. Means it won't fade away, it won't pass away, it won't rot. Amen. It won't get away. Undefiled. Ain't nothing that's going to defile it. Nobody can change it. Amen. Brother, it's undefiled and it's not going to decay. Hey, it's not going to fade away. It's not going to, when you stand before Him, it's not going to be missing. Amen. Sometimes people die and they can't find the will and everybody gets all upset and disturbed. But I'm telling you what, we've already got one. We got an inheritance on the other side. Thank God it's also a pure inheritance. Amen. Undefiled. Then in verse number 5, we find something else. We find the permanence. Amen. In other words, how long it's going to last. How long is this inheritance going to last? How good is it? Amen. Some folks get an inheritance and spend it the next day. Amen. My kids can because they won't be a whole lot. Amen. It won't take them long to go to Walmart. One trip to Walmart, take it all. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, brother, there's an inheritance on the other side that's left over there that's going to last. The Bible said in verse number 5, who are what? What? Say it again. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we find the permanence of it. How is it? How come it's permanent? Because what? We're kept not by the power of man, not by the power of the world, not even by the power of the church, not even by the power of the saints, not by the power of the bank. Amen. But we're kept by the power of God. Amen. I'll take that any day. Hallelujah for that. We are kept by the power of God. And brother, he tells us how we're kept by the power of God. Two things. Number one, by faith. Through faith unto salvation. How come we have this? Because we believe. Then listen to me. You said, oh, preacher, I've got that inheritance because I've got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, your faith was given to you by the Son of God. Amen. Y'all want you to know you don't have no faith. Your faith has been given to you. Amen. As many as believe Him, as many as receive Him, them gave He power to become the sons of God. And brother, our faith is His faith. So we'll find it's by faith. And secondly, you find that it's future. Because He said, ready to be revealed in the last time. So our inheritance is going to be revealed. It's not now. It tells us it's not present. But it's going to be future. This inheritance is yet to come. Amen. These preachers run up and down the country talking about prosperity. They're preaching the prosperity gospel. And they can tell that you must be right by how many cars you got, how many houses you live in, and how many boats you got, and all the things that you've got, possessions. Amen. Amen. I mean, I saw a fellow the other day had 8 or 10 cars sitting in his yard. I think only a couple of them was running. Amen. It doesn't run around. So if possessions get you there, He is there. Amen. So it's not how many you got. Amen. Get you there. See, you've seen that, haven't you? Amen. So we look at it. I want you to tell you tonight, it's not your possessions going to get you there. It's not your prosperity. Brothers, fight by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see the permanence of this salvation. We're kept by the power of God. Now we're talking about tonight, the salvation of God. Verses number 3 down through verses number 12. I'm going to close in a minute. He said in verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now I'm afraid we're not greatly rejoicing. We're rejoicing. I'm glad I'm saved, preacher. I'm glad I'm going home when this life's over. I'm glad the Lord reached down and picked up an old wretch like me. Huh? Yeah. Not rejoicing too much. Now, if we go to rejoicing greatly, reckon what that would mean in your life if you start rejoicing greatly. Reckon anybody'd see it? Reckon anybody'd know it? You reckon we could rejoice greatly and our neighbors not know it? You reckon we could rejoice greatly and our husband or wife not know it? Do you reckon we could rejoice greatly and our children not know it? I wonder if we ask the kids tonight, hey, does Mama and Daddy rejoice greatly? They'll say they're doing something greatly around there. There's a lot of racket, but it ain't rejoicing in Christ. Hear me? Rejoicing greatly. Hey, if I ask you tonight, does your husband rejoice greatly? Does your wife rejoice greatly? Or is we just occasionally get a holy grunt? Or a holy gripe, we might call it. Amen. Nothing holy about it, but it's just a gripe. You with me? So he said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Peter said, you're greatly rejoicing now. Now remember, what's the context of what we're talking about? These are saints that are scattered. They're in turmoil. Remember our text? We started off in verse 1, 2. They are scattered because of persecution. They've had to leave their hometown. They're trying to find some refuge somewhere. And Peter's on the scene and said, hey, I want to tell you something. You may be having some trouble now, some persecution now. People are talking about you.
But listen, you can greatly rejoice because you've got an inheritance that you don't see. And He's trying to remind us. You see, when we're running up and down this country trying to make ends meet, trying to pay the bills, trying to get everything working right, and trying to get everything, you know, put the shoes on them kids' feet and the clothes on their back and keep tires on the car. Isn't it amazing how we'll be worried today about tires on the car, and we'll get the tires on and we'll say, "Praise God!" And then the clutch comes out tomorrow. We're right back down in the hole. Here we are. We get that put in, we praise God, and the roof starts leaking. Hey, you said, "I wish one of these days it'd get better." It won't get much better. You might as well just start rejoicing greatly. And I remind you, we've got an inheritance when this life's over. Amen. I talked to somebody this week, and as I was talking to that person, they said, "You know what? Every day I just keep saying, well, I just soon the Lord just come on and take me and get me on out of here now. I'm ready to go." Now, some of y'all sitting here got things you'd like to hang around for, but I soon just go on. Amen. I enjoy what my life, and I'm not at the place of trying to turn the revolver around and put it to my head. I'm not that place. I think a lot of my wife's husband and don't want to do that. I like him pretty good. Amen. And I've tried to keep him put up with him for all these years, and I think I'll continue on. But if the Lord was to call me tonight, thank God I got a better place to go. I've got an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and faded not away, thank God. Eternal in the heavens. I'm glad of that, thank God. So you see, He's saying to the saints, they're over here, they're scattered. I know you're scattered. You've got trouble. They're coming from every side at you. They're talking about you. They're making fun of you. And you're having to hide for your life, and you're having to be careful what you're saying. But I want you to know, things are going to get better down the road. You've got an incorruptible inheritance. Therefore, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a what? A season. We're just in the season. We're suffering for a season right now. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That word manifold means many. They got many temptations coming over the way. And that's not temptations to sin. By the way, when you get the book of James, God said He does not tempt any man to sin. Amen. We talked about Sunday, about the sovereignty of God. God can do what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, how He wants to do it, with whomever He wants to do it. And when He gets through, it'll be for purpose. And He'll never be wrong. He'll always be right. Right? But I want to tell you tonight, as we look at this Scripture, I want to say to you, as we look at these thoughts here, brother, it's just for a season. And right now it's through heaviness and through manifold temptations. That's not temptations to sin. It's manifold temptations or testings and trials. It's one trial after another trial after another. One trial lays down and another comes. I believe Paul put up with that thorn in the flesh till the day he died. One trouble after another. One trial after another. One tribulation after another. One persecution after another. And it's going to be that way. But what he says right now, it's just a season. It's going to be over. But look at verse 7. I'm going to quit. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Hey, your trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Amen. Now you'd rather have the gold, hadn't you? Huh? How many tonight rather have gold as a trial? I'll raise my hand. Bless God, I do. I'd rather have the gold as a trial. But the Lord said that the trial of your faith being much more precious than a gold. God said that trial is more precious. You know what it's doing? Making you strong. How do you get strong in your trials? Some of you are going through so many trials tonight, you say, "Boy, I must be going to be stout one of these days." Amen. I'm telling you what, back yonder years ago, it seemed like every time I turned around, the devil was chopping at me. He still does. But I hear that hatchet now, and I know how to dodge a little of it. It ain't got no better. It's just I learned to tackle some of it. It still bothers me. It does. I never got adjusted to it yet. Ain't nobody in here adjusted to trials, are you? You don't get up in the morning and say, bring it on. You don't tell the devil that, do you? Maybe some of you have, but I hadn't. I'm not like the old fellow stood out on the porch and said, when it rains and thunders and lightnings and he's still alive, and I see him every once in a while. He said, when it comes up a big storm, I step out on the porch. Just get amazed. I want it to come on. Not me. I don't like the storms. Lightning goes to flash and thunder goes to rolling. Amen. I don't run from it, but I don't step out in it either. I was raised as a kid, brother. We was at a house one day and lightning struck and big old oak tree. You couldn't even put your arms around out in the yard. And it's come down, and I mean a flash of lightning come down, split that old tree. I mean, made a big old mark in it. You could see it hit the ground, came in the house and burnt the cook stove up and some other stuff. And I ain't never forgot that. Amen. So I don't run out under the oak tree and say, come on. I don't dare God. Amen. And I don't want them. I ain't got adjusted to it yet. But I'll tell you what. Back 100 years ago, I'd get them trials, and one would come, another would come, another would come. And I look back at it, and I look back now. And you know what? I hope I never have to face any of that again. Hope I never have to see that again. I tell the Lord all the time, I've had enough of that. Don't want no more of it. But I look back and said, thank God for every bit I had. I didn't do it when it happened. Amen. But I do it now. You know what it done? Made my faith stronger in the Lord. Amen. You know how saints are. Young Christians, you know what to do? They fall apart at the seams. Trouble comes and they just go all to pieces. You ever wonder why some of the old saints of God seem like they never nothing bothers them? They done been through the testings and the trials. And they know they ain't going to get much better. You just learn to cope with it, don't you? Amen. I mean, you just lay in the bed at night and wish you'd grab a hold of the devil and grab him by the ears and slap his head off. Amen. And you can't do it. I've even tried a time or two swatting at him. Amen. And I have to say, Lord, there he is. Take care of him. Amen. I'm no match for the devil. Sometimes I get in the pulpit, get the preaching, get the feeling good. Sometimes outside the pulpit, get the feeling good. And I said, bring it on, old devil. I'll take 15 of you. But I'm just a talking. He walks up and gets near. And brother, I go to shaking in my boots. And I'm ready to crawl under the bed and cry out to God, Lord, I need some help. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. Lord, I need some help. Come on the scene, dear God, tonight. Let the trial of your faith be in much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. That's pretty tough, ain't it? Amen. Tried with fire. How many of you like fire? If I can get warmth out of it, I say I like it, but I don't play with it. Amen. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What you want us to do? You want us to be steadfast. So that when He comes and appears, what are we going to do? We're going to be found unto praise and honor and glory. We didn't get up and quit. We didn't sit down and stop. We didn't suck our thumb and give up. We kept trodden on for the Lord Jesus. These saints were scattered. What should we do? Rejoice greatly. Greatly rejoice. Amen. I challenge you tonight. I know you got troubles and trials. So, preacher, everything going fine with me right now. They'll just crow. Climb up on another limb. Throw that head back and crow some more. Things will change by morning. God will cut the limb out from under you. And you won't be crowing no more. What do we need? We need the touch of God in our life. I don't know what I'm going to face before I leave this building tonight. I don't know what I'm going to face tonight. I don't know what I might face tomorrow. Next day. But I know one thing. I need Him. Thank God I got Him. And I want to rejoice greatly in what I have. And just remember, I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim passing through this old world. I got myself an inheritance. I hadn't earned it. I don't deserve it. But He said right here, His promise to me it's mine. Now, you can fight over that with me if you want to, but you got the same inheritance. And there's enough to share. And there's enough to go around. We've all got the same inheritance. Ain't you glad you got one? Amen. When they read the last will and testament, I'll be there. It's in reserve on the other side. Heads bowed. Thank God it's in reserve on the other side. Yep, we're leaving this world. Some of you think you're going to stay a while. Some of you young folks think life's in your hands. But it passed away quickly. How about it tonight? I want you to stand. If there's a reason to come to this altar, I want you to come. You need to commit everything to Him tonight. He knows more about your life and what you're going to face tomorrow than you'd ever imagine think about tonight. He knows what you need. And He's able to meet that need for you tonight.